we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program here on a Thursday morning. We are so thankful that you have chosen to make us a part of your day. Thank you to WMIE 91.5, today's Modern Worship, and WWBC 1510 AM for all they do in propagating the gospel throughout the community. I think it was one of the people that works here at the radio station who mentioned, have you seen this video about this Christian that goes out and talks to unbelievers about the vernacular that we use in our communications with other Christians? And when he goes out and he starts mentioning these words, they're just like, what? You know, it doesn't compute. It doesn't translate. They don't understand what we're talking about. So when I talk to you about the gospel, now I want to give you the simplest definition of that, and that is that it is good news. It is good news that Jesus came and was born of a virgin. It is good news that God came and took on human flesh. It was good news that he lived among us. It was good news that he went to the cross because of that great love for us. It's the good news. That's what we are here to proclaim. And so when we talk about proclaiming the gospel throughout Brevard County, it is good news. You know why most of the world's media focuses on negative things? It's because tragedy tends to drive ratings. Controversy drives ratings, and ratings drive advertising revenue, and so they will propagate things that are going to make them more money. Some of the media streams, it has to do with the philosophy. You know, what is it that they are wanting to promote? You know, I kind of thought that news reporting agencies were supposed to report news. And so I was like, you know, if I had a lot of money, what I would do if I was going to start a television news station is I would put news on there. You know why? Because nobody else does the news. You know, they bring this conservative and this liberal on, and this person on the right, this person on the left. And they get into this debate. And like I was talking about on yesterday's program, you know, if it's not coming from light, if they're not speaking from light, it's because there's no light. And if they're not speaking based upon the word of God, it is because there is no light in them. That only leaves one thing. When you are void of light, you have darkness. Okay? Let me just give you that definition. Darkness is an absence of light. It is where a void of light exists. And I don't want that to be your life or my life. I want to be a part of what God is doing here in seeing darkness defeated. Okay, there is a kingdom of light, that's the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of darkness, that is the kingdom of Satan. And we want to see the kingdom of darkness being plundered. And we want to see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light, being populated. And so that's what we have been talking about. So yesterday, let me go back and read verse 21, Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 21. It says, They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So that's where we talked about yesterday. That's where this society that was not seeking God, that's their destination. When they choose to seek spiritual voices other than God's Holy Spirit, God speaking from His Word, when they start looking for truths that are not from heaven, darkness is that destination. Not because that's the way that God wanted it, but that's the way that man chooses to have it. When you reject the light, you are left with darkness. Okay? Verse number 1 of chapter 9 is where we're going to pick up today. Nevertheless, I absolutely love that word. Nevertheless. I was getting ready to write a book on it one time, just on that theme, nevertheless. And then Mark Rutland wrote a book on it, nevertheless. And I said, you know what? That means that the things that God is speaking to me, that God is speaking to somebody else as well. And so I didn't view it as an insult. I viewed it as confirmation and said, you know what? That means that I'm hearing the voice of God. And nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I went on to read the latter portion of that chapter just so that you could see the context that this nevertheless is talking about, that when people were making unwise spiritual decisions, it was not going to impede God from bringing the incarnation of his son, Jesus Christ. It is going to happen. Even though people were pursuing the wrong things, there were going to be some people who would eventually see the right thing. And it goes on, and verse number 1 describes that there was going to be supernatural things that were taking place in Galilee. Listen to this, Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay, so Isaiah is prophesying that there is going to be something that takes place, and it is from a region that many people would never have expected it to come from. There are when you race at the Kentucky Derby, or you know, in some of those races, those horses are called thoroughbreds. They are able to trace their lineage back generations upon generations. There's a lot of money in horse racing. I mean, it is called the sport of kings for a reason. It takes some big bucks to be able to develop some of those horses. But there are many people who think that there can't be anything that takes place spiritually unless you come from one of those thoroughbred lineages. You know, I know people who can trace their lineage as pastors back 4, 5, and 6 generations, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm not smirking that at all. I'm not making fun of it, because listen, they've probably got a lot of words sewed down inside there. But I also know this, that every day there's a new curse breaker that is brought into the kingdom of God. A person who said, you know what, my daddy had this problem, my mama had that problem, my grandparents had that problem before them, my great-grandparents before them had that problem before them, and they said, but today that is coming to an end because I'm going to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've told you how Hiram told Solomon that the land of Galilee was a land that was good for nothing. And this passage says, get ready, Galilee, because you are not good for nothing. You are fertile soil for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It says there in verse number 2 that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know, when I wake up, I start looking for the source of light. I have a couple of spots in our room that, because I'm trying to determine the time, is what I'm basically doing. Is it time to get up already? Or do we get to go back to sleep some more, just find a different position? And so there's a couple of spots that I can tell by the quality of light that is coming through those little portals. I can tell what time it is. And the it says here, the people who walked in darkness. That's past tense. You can't walk in darkness while seeing a great light. The statement itself is incongruent. Now, you can be a person who used to walk in darkness and has now, because you have seen the light, has made a decision and said, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to start walking the way that God wants me to walk. I am going to walk in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It changes the way that you walk. I am a person that I pace when I walk. It helps me to maintain focus. But I also tend to close my eyes when I pray, and so when I pace, sometimes I find myself bumping into things with my feet because I'm not looking where I'm going. Where there's darkness, you think you're walking in a straight line, but all of a sudden you look up and you find that you're nowhere near where you really thought you were. I may be speaking to somebody on the radio program today that you've walked in spiritual darkness for so long that you thought you were all right, but it's not until you've heard the word of God that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Maybe it's not until you looked in the word of God and you found that God was looking for people who would honor the Lord their God, who would love him, who would honor his Sabbath, who would honor him with their finances, who wouldn't kill, wouldn't steal, wouldn't covet, would honor their father and mother. And you say, you know what? I've walked in darkness so long that I didn't realize my current spiritual positioning. When we took the kids to camp a little over a week ago, because of the destination, we were returning a rental vehicle, and so it was a more convenient trip. It was a quicker trip if we took a different route on the way home. Well, I was navigating, and it had a compass, and I had my phone on giving me directions just in case I forgot how to get there. And plus, there was one stretch of road where I'd never navigated that road before. And during that time, one of the people in the vehicle said, "Are we headed this direction?" Well, when I looked at the compass that the vehicle was equipped with, it was going exactly the opposite direction. We were going the direction we were supposed to, but our bearings were off. If left to our own natural conclusions, we would have thought we were going south, and we were actually headed north. You know, that happened to me for real one time. I was supposed to be headed from Lakeland to I-4, and I ended up, and I stopped for somebody, and I said, "Hey, can you tell me how to get to I-4? Because a friend of mine had taken this shortcut, but I didn't remember every turn, and I made a right when I was supposed to make a left, and I ended up in this little town I'd never been in before, going the opposite direction of where I was supposed to be. And that's what light does for us. It gives us perspective as to our current situation. And folks, I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about where America is spiritually. I'm not worried about where America is financially. I think it would be much better if America was a lender, not a borrower, because the Bible says that the borrower is subject to the lender. I would much rather be in a position of headship than I would be subservience. That's where I am. But I am worried about where we are spiritually. And here's the thing that causes me concern is I believe that much of America thinks that they are in one place spiritually, which when you look at it in God's word, we may not be positioned where we think are. We need the light of God's word bringing us reality in so that we understand where we are. You cannot get to where you want to go unless you first know where you are, where you came from, and then you know how to get to where you need to be. Okay? Just as because I was going someplace that I had never been before, I needed a GPS system operating on my phone to give me the insight and the direction that I needed. You and I, we need God's positioning system operating in our lives so that if there are people walking in darkness, they will see a great light. It says, "Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Okay? There are people right now, and you are living with the expectation that the only thing that you have that is coming your way is death. Okay? What a less than desirable way to live. Let me put it that way. Living with only the expectancy of taking your last breath is not the way that God wants you and I to live. And it's not the way that I want to live. I want to live not where, you know, I shared this with the church one day, and that is there's a betting commercial that's out there, and they say, "Oh, this person thought they were living the comfortable life until they tried out one of our beds, and then they discovered what real comfort really was all about." And the thought was, once you buy one of our beds, you're never going to want to get out of it. Well, listen, you were made for a spiritual adventure. I've got news for you. I'm not living in the shadow of death. I'm living in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I want to live. I want to live under the shelter of His wings. I don't live looking with dread and fear at what death is going to do. I live with great anticipation of what supernatural life is going to be like. That each day that I'm on the radio here, that I could speak something and a miracle could take place in someone's life right then. A person visited our church and they said, I'm looking for a church where people are wanting to get involved. I'm looking for a church that believes that God can do anything at any time. Well, guess what? If you are looking for a new day to dawn, you can look up on a weather app and you can see what sunrise and sunset is going to be like for today. And they will give you a different sunrise and a different sunset tomorrow because they know what is happening as far as the heavenly bodies and, you know, the earth coming over the horizon or the sun coming up over the horizon due to the earth's rotation and things like that. But in the supernatural, God can cause light to shine upon you at any given point in time. You know why? Because the source of light is not in the rotation of the sun and the course of the earth through its annual circuit around the sun. The source of light is going all the way back to Genesis when God said, "Let there be light." And today, if you are walking in darkness and you're living without any joy, without any hope, without any purpose, God speaks to you today and say, "Let there be light in your life." You and I are to be the light of the world. Not because there's a thermonuclear explosion that is going on a constant basis and there's all sorts of chemical interactions and all that, but because God is still speaking, "Let there be light." He goes on and he says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor." Okay? And so, because this new day has dawned, there is increase, there is multiplication that takes place whenever supernatural light is. I believe that every church should be having a positive impact on its community. In some way, in some fashion, listen, if church ever becomes us four and no more, then you can see that church is on its way to a very meager existence. But when we are saying, you know what, God is causing light to increase in places where it's never increased before. There are many people that think that the only way that church growth happens is when there is a shifting of the saints, where there is transfer growth. But God is looking to bring about supernatural growth, not just because somebody's moving from church A to church B, but because there are people in our communities right now who are walking in darkness and they're dwelling with nothing but the overhanging, overlooming shadow of death. And God has positioned you and I strategically throughout this county and say, "You know what? I think there's a new day dawning in your life." And all of a sudden, increase begins to take place. You read about the book of Acts. There are people that say the only thing that explains the book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in 100 years, the kingdom of God had radically grown from just a a dozen or so believers, or a few hundred maybe, to where it was touching the majority of the known world at that point in time. You have multiplied the nation, which means people group. You've increased its joy, and it says they rejoice before you like they've just had a harvest. They rejoice as if they've just come back from battle and they're ready to divide the spoil. They rejoice because you have broken the yoke of his burden. Today, you serve a God who not only wants to give you light, but he wants to set you free from the oppression that this life has to offer. You know, I'm smart enough and experienced enough to know that there are plenty of people here in Brevard County that have very real challenges that they deal with. They might be relational, they might be physical, they might be financial, whatever it might be. Today, can I ask you, would you, now remember, Isaiah chapter 9 is a transition from Isaiah chapter 8. Would you allow God to speak to you from the light of his word so that real radical change and increase can come into your life? God has a new day for you, a better day. May that the reality of your present oppression, the present yoke that you carry, may that be devastated when you all of a sudden realize that God has set you free. Okay? This is a day to rejoice because of what God has done. You know, the Bible talks about that in the last days there will be deceiving spirits, that they will be lying. And one of the things that Satan will do is when you have actually been set free by God, he will try and convince you that you are still defeated, that you are still bound, that you are still obligated to do whatever Satan wants you to do and yield to every temptation he brings your way. And today I want you to know God has a life of victory for you. He wants to open up your eyes to see that he has set you free and it is time to rejoice. One of my favorite verses is in Malachi. I'm going to turn there real quick. The clock is ticking away. Malachi. And it talks about, in the NIV, I don't have my NIV with me, and I don't have my phone, but it's in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The NIV says something like, and you shall go out like calves released from the stall. May you have a day of rejoicing today. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.